This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I'm in the rabbit hole now of watching Ben Stiller argue with people on social media about the piston foul calls.
You said that yesterday. He's still talking about it?
He's still doing it. He's arguing constantly.
This is that. The Pistons, we didn't get this. We got that.
Now, I do think that tonight at Madison Square Garden, the whistle will probably be on Detroit's side. I mentioned this to you at the beginning of the series when Tom Thibodeau was complaining after game two that sometimes the complaining works.
Yeah.
But here's the great news for the New York Knicks. They're more talented than the Pistons, and you have a chance to take it out of the whistle's mouth. The whistle's mouth? Take the whistle
out of the referee's mouth.
Out of the official's mouth.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
So we'll see if they can pull that off. Now, our last caller, if you missed, you could rewind on the Odyssey app, is talking glowingly about Pete Alonso, my guy, your guy. We all love Pete Alonso, except for those that buried him. Sean Morash, Sal Lacalla, Tommy Hilfiger. But we all love Pete. He's off to a great start. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Steve Cohen did an interview with John Heyman the other day. My good friend John Heyman, we're on great terms. Okay, we texted each other. We're all good.
Especially after he apologized to you.
That's right. He apologized.
Apologized
to me for no reason. I have no idea why, but we love each other. So John was interviewing Steve Cohen and did this incredible, incredible thing. He was like, Pete Alonso, represented by Scott Morris. You should really pay him. He didn't say any of that, but he was talking to Pete like we would, and asked Steve Cohen point blank, all right, he's going to opt out at the end of the year. Can you see Pete staying here? Can you get something done midseason? Here is what Steve Cohen had to say about bringing back Peter Jefferson Aloysius Alonso.
He's gotten off to a fantastic start. He's a fan favorite. We're thrilled that, obviously he's on the team, and we know he can opt out at the end of the year, and we'll deal with it then. I just dealt with this 2 months ago. Do I have to start dealing with this again? Let it kind of, play itself out. Obviously Pete's going to explore his market like he should, and I'm supportive of that, and we'll see where it goes.
So that doesn't sound encouraging.
That sounds like a guy who said, I ain't dealing with this again anytime soon.
Yeah, Good riddance after this year. Good riddance.
No, you took that?
Yes.
No.
It sounded like he has zero desire, even though he was joking about it. I'm just listening how I listen. Even though he was joking about it, he wants nothing to do with negotiating with Scott Boras, especially if Pete Alonso has a breakout, unbelievable contract year. That's what that sounded like.
I didn't take that way at all.
I heard.
Okay, I heard something different.
What did you hear?
I heard, forget, don't even ask me about getting something done midseason. That's dead.
Okay, what about and he's going to opt out. Opt out and explore his wishes, and I wish him all the luck.
Well, because
dude, go ahead.
No.
Somebody else will pay you a lot of money. I don't have to deal with Scott Boras again.
What pissed off Steve Cohen last year was that Pete Alonso and Scott Boras were asking for things that no one else was offering. So he explored the market. There was nothing there and was still asking the Mets for more money or more years than he was being offered anywhere else.
All right, so do you think that there is going to be a more robust market for Pete Alonso a year later?
I have no idea, and I am skeptical that there will be. And
exactly.
That's why.
So I'm saying Steve Cohen wants nothing to do with the same exact thing he just went through.
No, I don't think so. I don't think he wants to deal with it right now, considering he just finished it like 2 months ago. I don't take it as Pete's gone. I take it as, forget the idea of a midseason extension. Anyone who is suggesting that, that's not happening, and it doesn't really make sense honestly, for either side. It's better for Pete to have the open market.
Is it?
And it's better. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because what are you negotiating against right now? Like, you're asking the Mets for what? The
last
Mets
season.
Excuse me?
Last season.
What does that mean, last season?
I'm much better this season. Now, I proved to you that I could be viable. Again, it's not going to happen anytime
soon.
No,
okay, but let's play this out. So you're Pete Alonso and Scott Boras, and I'm David Stearns. Okay, tell me what you want again. What do you want?
A fairer long-term offer.
Well, what do you want? You tell me what you want. You're the guy talking. You called me up. What
I'm
do you
31
want?
Years old. I want a six-year deal.
Yeah, we're going to let you go to free agency, test your market. You deserve it. You're a wonderful mm-hmm. player, and then get back to us. I think it's the same thing as last year.
I need to make at least $30 million.
No, that's cool. I respect that. Go to the market, test yourself, and
he's not
we'll get back
that.
To
and
you.
And he's not getting that.
Well, I agree he may not get that, which is why Steve Cohen is smart to say, go to free agency again, and then get back to me. And yeah, if the number and the years are something we're comfortable with, we'll hit it, we'll re-sign. Pete clearly wants to be here. But it doesn't make any sense to negotiate against yourself. And that was the problem that Steve Cohen had last year. Mm-hmm. They were being asked to negotiate against themselves. Why would you do that?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'm just saying, it sounds to me like Steve Cohen wants nothing to do with negotiating at all, whether against yourself or against anybody else, with Scott Boras.
I have to hear this one more time now, because I did not hear that at all.
Listen to the response when he says, right, Pete's going to go into free agency,
go ahead,
and I'll be fully supportive.
I'm going to be open-minded. I'm going to see if Tiki is going to depress me on this Tuesday and make me think that my billionaire owner is telling Pete Alonso to kick rocks. I don't think that's the case, but I'm going to listen a second time, just like everyone in the audience is, and we'll all determine it together.
Mm-hmm. He's gotten off to a fantastic start. He's a fan favorite. You know, we're thrilled that, you know, obviously he's on the team, and, you know, we know he can opt out at the end of the year, and we'll deal with it then. You know, it's, you know, like, we just... I just dealt with this 2 months ago. Like, okay, do I have to start dealing with this again? You know, like, let it kind of, you know, play itself out. You know, obviously, Pete's going to explore his market like he should, and I'm supportive of that, and we'll see where it goes.
You're a troublemaker, Tiki.
I'm not.
You're a troublemaker.
He's going to explore his market, and we'll see where it goes.
Let me give you an analogy.
How else can you hear that?
I'll tell you exactly how.
Okay, go ahead.
So, me and my wife, this didn't happen. I'm making this up. Me and my wife are planning out this awesome anniversary weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So much stuff. You know what? I don't want to use that one. We're going to Europe.
Okay.
My wife's been planning this thing out for a year. And she asks me, hey, did you do this? Did you do this? Did you do this? Did you do this? And I'm like, yes, I'm trying. So much about Europe. I can't wait to go, Teak, but it's a lot. So the trip happens. We have a great time. Mm-hmm. Like, the trip's fantastic. If 2 weeks later, my wife says, let's plan Asia. We're going next year. I'd be like, are you serious? We just did this. Like, I'm not against going to Asia, but can we let it breathe? Mm. And so what Steve is saying is,
he's so wrong.
I just did this dance with Scott and Pete.
Yeah.
Why are you asking me a month into the season to dance again?
It's so interesting. Like, so, so interesting that you picked that specific analogy. Now,
yeah.
If you say, we're going to Europe, it's fantastic. We just had this whole conversation. We booked the travel. We booked the hotels. We know what we're doing. It's all set. We're all good. And it's all, you don't have to do a thing else other than take the days off, which you've already done, get on a plane, and go enjoy Europe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then your wife, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, a month later, says, you know what? I'm really thinking about next year. Let's go to Asia.
Right.
And you're like, damn, I want to think about that. You know why you should? And it's exactly why Steve Cohen should. It'll be cheaper.
Yep.
And the longer you wait, the more expensive the flight is, the more chaotic it becomes, the more urgency that you have, the more stressful it feels. But when you give yourself time, it makes it a whole lot easier.
I tell you why it doesn't work in this case. But first, I do
want to... That's exactly what you do with travel.
I do want to remind everyone.
Our travel. We know we're going next year.
I get it. Maybe that wasn't the best analogy, but it was the perfect one to make my case. You are listening to WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM, HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station. So, if you are trying to keep Pete Alonso,
mm-hmm.
which I do believe the Mets will try to do again,
yes,
you are better negotiating with the entire baseball universe telling you what Pete is worth
or,
versus blindly negotiating on a contract you don't even know if he would get in the open market.
I don't think that... Well, he's already making $30 million.
Right.
Right. So that's the going rate for a good, a hot, upper-end first baseman. We already know he's that. He had a bad contract year a year ago. Let's toss that up to for whatever analogy or pressure working in the situation. Maybe his process was off. Who knows? Whatever it was. He's going to make about $30 million. If you're going to prepay somebody, it comes at a discount. Period.
So then would Scott and Pete accept a discount? They wouldn't even accept
because he
that.
Wants to be here.
He does, but he also wants to make the most money. We saw that in free agency last year. He wants both.
Yeah, but should he? Or should he take what he can get? Because I don't think there's going to be a robust free agent market for Pete Alonso. I just don't.
By the way, I agree with you.
He's going to be 31 years old.
I agree with you, which is why if I'm Steve Cohen, I have the whole, let's talk about it in the offseason. Let's see what the market is. I'll probably match his best offer and he'll be back.
I'm not saying it's offseason. I'm just saying it's somewhere down the line this year.
Let me tell you this right now, because I want you to understand this part of me as a Met fan. If all of a sudden the news broke and the glass broke, and Sean and Lugie are like, yeah, 4-year deal for Pete Alonso. Stuff.
$120 million.
I'd be ecstatic.
Right.
I'm not against it. I'm just trying to be smart here, and I'm looking at what happened last year, and I'm looking at what Steve just said in that interview, and that sounds like a guy who's not saying, I'll get rid of you. It sounds like a guy who's saying, I'm not playing that game again. Go to free agency, and we'll see what happens. And if you get a big offer, we'll decide if we feel you're worth it. If we're not, we'll let you go.
Okay, so, but that puts decision into the conversation as opposed to keeping it at certainty. I want to be here. You guys want me here because I'm having such a great season here. Let me end my career as a New York Met, break whatever milestones or get to whatever milestones. And guess what? We're not negotiating with anyone. This is the deal that I would like. And it's manageable. You're already paying me $30 million this year. Let's make it a clean 4-120 and everybody's happy. And nobody's talking about it anymore.
I don't even think they're
And then we don't have to have this Scott Boras injecting his opinion on what Pete's market should be. Should be making $40
million. But that's why he's not going to accept that, because Scott is still his agent and is still going to advise. You're having an MVP kind of season.
Yeah, but he's
not. Go to free agency.
Okay, but I ask you this. I asked it before we had this conversation.
Yes.
Do you think there's going to be a robust market for Pete Alonso after this season with the Mets?
Are you asking me or Scott Boras?
I'm asking you as a representative of Scott Boras.
I think he will have a better market than he just had, but it will not be the robust market Scott Boras thinks. But Scott Boras thinks he's going to have a robust market, which means this conversation would go nowhere. It would go nowhere. And so Steve Cohen is expressing
saying,
I'll worry about it in November.
Who's in charge? Well, is it Scott Boras or is it Pete Alonso?
It's complicated.
If Pete Alonso says, hey, I want to be here. I'll take $30 million for the next 4 years at 120 and finish my career as a Met, become an icon. And if it comes down to it, at 35, I'm still mashing. We'll do one-year deals.
Can I ask you one other thing, though, too, that you have to throw in there? And I don't get caught in this, but I do want to bring it up because I'm sure there's a lot of people thinking it. If you're a Met fan and the Mets are 20-9, they're off to a wonderful start. And everything isn't clicking, obviously.
Yeah.
Juan Soto is not Juan Soto yet. They just got Alvarez and McNeil back. But Pete Alonso has been the MVP of the team through the first 29 games.
No doubt.
Would you mess with that? Would you mess with that by giving him an extension? Wouldn't you say to yourself, you know what?
I think
this is just keep raking, bro.
Giving him an extension makes it even easier for him.
You think so?
100%. It makes him free.
Can I tell you a story?
There's no pressure.
I got to tell you something that's Knicks-Mets related, since today is a Knicks day and we're mixing in the Mets. In 2004, the New York Knicks moved into a playoff spot. No, it wasn't 2004. What year was it? It was after they made the playoffs in 2004. And Isaiah Thomas got an... I want to get this story right. I apologize. I may be muffing it. But the Knicks gave Isaiah Thomas an extension like as they got to the 8 seed in the middle of a season. And then the Knicks completely collapsed. And I remember some Knicks fans thinking, oh my God, why would we do that?
Right.
Wait till the season's over. Like, we haven't accomplished anything yet. And in the case of Pete Alonso, he's had a great month, but would you really want to rush to pay him off of a great month as opposed to saying, go have a great year. I am a billionaire owner. I'll pay you what the market dictates, assuming earn that?
I wouldn't do it over a month. I wouldn't do it not even at the trade deadline. It'd be as the season is certain, we know what he is.
So you wouldn't do it now?
No, definitely not now.
Well, that's what Steve's saying.
We're just having this conversation right now. Steve is saying, we're going to let him go into free agency,
and
we'll see what happens. Good luck.
But I don't take that as the kicking him out. I take it as he deserves it. We'll pay him if we need to.
What I heard was him saying, I dislike maybe not Scott Boras, but negotiating this with Scott Boras.
This has to happen right now. April 29th, 3:07 p.m. Mm-hmm. And we did this last year, but we're bringing it back. Is Pete Alonso going to be a Met in 2026, Tiki Barber?
It depends. It depends on Steve Cohen.
That's not there, B square.
If Steve Cohen is open to negotiating with Pete Alonso, and we'll find this out because he'll be asked this frequently now that Heyman opened this can of worms. If he's open to negotiating as the season is getting not towards the end, because you don't want to be messing with the playoffs, but back quarter of this season, then the answer is yes.
That was very convoluted. What's your answer, Teak?
If Steve Cohen changes his tune that, yes, we'll negotiate with Pete to sign him long-term in the back quarter of this season, he will be a Met.
So you're saying, let me just clarify.
If Steve Cohen is saying, go to free agency, Pete, we love you, test the market, he's not going to be a Met.
I got you now. So if he gets to free agency, he's gone.
Yes.
But you still think there's a chance they would get something done before the season is over?
Yes.
Okay. I completely disagree with you on both accounts. Mm. Let me write that down. April 29th, 3:07 p.m. By the way, speaking of April 29th, coming up a little after 5 o'clock, it's a new segment here on Evan and Tiki. We will ask Sal Licata if the NL East is over. So we will find out from Sal right around 5:06, 5:07 if the NL East is over.
The NL East is over.
That's not today. That was a few years ago.
I am wrong.
Sean Morash, will Pete Alonso be a Met in 2026?
I think the moment Vlad Guerrero Jr. re-signed in Toronto, Pete Alonso was always going to be a Met in 2026.
Lugie, will Pete Alonso be a Met in 2026?
Pete Alonso will 1,000% be a Met in 2026. And one little part of that clip that we didn't mention is that Steve Cohen acknowledged how much of a fan favorite Pete is. Pete's going to have this monster season. There's no shot they don't re-sign him.
Yeah, extend him. You know what's funny?
That's why it's going to happen before the season.
I agree, because you know what? It's going to be, you know when it's going to be a big topic? When Pete Alonso is at the All-Star game as an actual All-Star this year, not just doing the Home Run Derby.
Right.
Every year, that's a topic at the All-Star game, and that's where I think it'll get done around that time period.
I think that Steve Cohen lets his baseball people make baseball decisions, but I think sometimes you have to make a business decision.
This is a business
and
decision.
And this past offseason,
Juan Soto was a business decision.
Absolutely. It was baseball and business. He's a hell of a baseball player. I think David Stearns wanted him too, but it's also business. If there was a moment to let Pete Alonso go away, it was this offseason. Despite the home run against Milwaukee, he was coming off a down year. Plus, they added Juan Soto. And so the Mets could have easily said to their fans, and they were already selling a bunch of tickets, we love Pete, it didn't work out, but we gave you Juan Soto. This offseason, and I don't know what the Mets season will hold, whether it's a playoff berth and an early exit or a deep postseason run, or dare I say a world championship. I don't know. But it is going to be a very tough sell to lose Pete Alonso and not have something else to show their fans. And if you look at free agency a year from now, not that anyone wants to do it, there's nothing they would show their fans.
I got something to show
they
them.
Did Juan Soto. They did would not have that this year.
I got something to show them.
Go ahead.
A World Series trophy.
Here's what's complicated about that. I get it. That would make it the easiest. When the New York Yankees won the World Series in 2009, and they let Hideki Matsui walk through that door, how did you feel, Sean? Did you say, well, we won the World Series, no biggie? Or did it bother you that they let the World Series MVP walk out that door?
Of course it bothered me.
Well,
we just saw him win the MVP. I wanted more.
Ask the Met fan, and I'm too young for this, Teague, how they felt when Ray Knight was shown the door after 1986. I know it's not the World Series. Ask the Met fan what it felt like when Daniel Murphy was shown the door after carrying them to the World Series in 15.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Well, you always can, Teague. You picked me to ride along, you not Tommy.
Exactly. What did Matsui do after he left the Yankees?
I think he was terrible for the Rays.
Thank you.
They went to the Angels first.
Guess what?
Oh, it was the Angels? I forgot.
Maybe. Who was the general manager at that point? Was it Cashman?
Yes.
Yeah. Cashman's been the GM my whole life.
Right. Yeah, so exactly. So maybe Brian Cashman, who everybody's been crushing for the last decade, maybe he actually played it right. Let him walk because he's washed.
He did, but you still tugged at the heartstrings.
It doesn't matter.
Pete Alonso.
He made the right baseball decision.
I gotcha.
Give Brian Cashman credit for making the right decision.
Pete Alonso will be a Met in 2026.
Okay.
He will be. So there you go. We've all got it on record. Let's
go. Ryan Clifford comes up, mashes. Next thing you know, Pete who?
Well, it's funny. Back in March, one of my other long-term predictions, you guys forget this, but I write it down, was, and this is before Pete's start, and this is before the way the season began, I predicted Pete would be gone. I said, it's 1 year and he's gone,
right,
and the first baseman in 2026 is going to be Mark Vientos, with Brett Beatty having a monster year this year and being the third baseman. So I've already changed my tune from March. Let's go to JT in Jersey City. How are you, JT?
What up, JT?
Hey, Evan and Tiki. Thanks for taking the call. Yeah, I got to chime in on Alonzo, you know, because I'm a it's me, Evan, Joe B, and Pete Hoffman, the Alonzo fan club.
That's true.
But yeah, we can still blame Nimmo, but anyway, getting past that. So I definitely think Pete is going to re-sign before the year's over. I mean, the Vlad Guerrero deal definitely. I agree with Sean. That definitely put that all in motion.
Right.
For sure. You could easily see, hey, you know, we got Vlad at, you know, whatever he's making, almost $40 million a year for 14 years. We can't sign Pete for 5 or 6 years for $30 million.
Right. The high end of the market is set. So you should know exactly where he fits.
Right, exactly. And look, if he's shown that he last year was not who he is, he's showing it right now. It's like a totally different player, right? But that's really what he always was, right? When we look back at the past
to a degree, JT, I think he's always been a clutch player. I think the banner that's been hung on him has been unfair the last year or so, where they've said he isn't a clutch player. He's a clutch player. He's not a 330 hitter, though. That we've never seen before.
No.
And I'm not sure that's actually going to happen this season, but he's having a great year. And one of the reasons he's having a great year, let's be honest, one of the reasons Pete Alonso is having a great year, you want to guess why? Sean's raising his hand. Sean, there are a few reasons, but one of the main reasons Pete Alonso is having a great year,
Juan Soto's hitting in front of him,
is Juan Soto. It's absolutely true.
Yeah.
So I get the disappointment from lack of production, and he needs to produce more, but the impact that other players are feeling, including Pete Alonso, it's pretty apparent. We'll get back to your calls next. How important is it for the Knicks to get this thing done tonight? Plus, is Tiki right? Is Steve Cohen basically telling Pete Alonso, get the hell out of here? 888-808-1019. We got a big night in New York sports tonight. The Yankees are down 995, trying to bounce back after their 4-3 loss last night against the Orioles. More on that in a little bit. The Mets are home. They're only home for 3 days, but boy, the weather outside makes it feel like summer baseball. They open up
beautiful.
A 3-gamer against the Diamondbacks. Bro, it's 80 degrees outside.
You going?
Am I going to the game tonight?
Yeah.
I am not going to the game tonight, and it's very difficult. And the reason I'm not going tonight is because I felt it was the right thing to do, to be at home watching the New York Knicks and the New York Mets and the New Jersey Devils.
So you're not even going to
the
Knicks
New York
game.
I'm going nowhere. I'm going to my TV sports viewing center at home because I feel like tonight is such an intense night that I need to be everywhere.
There is kind of a lot going on, but it's beautiful. And if I had Mets tickets, I'd be at the Mets game.
So now you're shaming me for not going to the Mets game tonight?
I would. I don't even like going to staying at games, but I'd go to the Mets game.
Well,
especially because your seats are so spectacular.
Thank you.
And there's a bar right behind it.
That is true.
Went up there last time I went. The guy was like, what are you having? I was like, give me the, what did I have? I had the...
I wasn't there.
You had a Dos Equis.
Dos Equis. I had the Dos Equis. And he was like, oh, you want it in a can or the glass? And I was like, yeah, just put it in a glass. He's like, all right, but the can's easy outside. I'm like, don't worry, I'll be back.
I get the impression that you care much more about the bar and the drink than the actual Met game.
Yes, I mean, what I'd rather do is go to the Cadillac Club.
I knew that was coming.
But your seats, they're quite fine.
Thank you very much. I would love to be at Citi Field tonight. I just thought being at home with my eyes on everything was more important. And the good news is tomorrow I will be at Citi Field.
No.
And tomorrow's weather is also supposed to be awesome.
Yeah.
Like, we have a full week of summer-like weather.
We have finally eclipsed the summer. The winter.
It feels that way. It feels that way. In a few minutes, a brand new edition of Posted and Toasted. Tiki will guess the old tweets of our fellow WFN coworkers. But let's go to Nick and Dobbs Ferry. Good afternoon, Nick.
Hey now. How you doing, guys?
What's up, man?
So I have a list here in my hands. It is the three reasons why it's more likely that Abuelo will find a Cam Scataboo football in your creek. before they signed Pete Alonso.
Wow. Okay. Go ahead.
That's great.
Jeez.
Okay.
Yes.
So number one is the disrespect that franchise has given him. Not only did they sign basically Jim Edmonds without the glove to a billion-dollar contract and left him to get the pennies, to pick up the pennies after, his own fan base cheered another first baseman that they were oohing and aahing over on opening day.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
Number two, you think he's hitting good behind Juan Soto, he's going to hit even better behind Aaron Judge. And number three, legacy.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, no, I'm listening.
The legacy is.
The legacy.
No, I got you. So the legacy is, where do Mets players go to create their legacy? Where did Tom Seaver win his 300th game, Evan?
As a road pitcher at Yankee Stadium. But he was not on the Yankees.
Okay, where did Dwight Gooden pitch his no-hitter?
Yankees.
And where did Dale Strawberry beat cancer?
I got it.
Yankee Stadium.
All right, yeah. Thank you, Nick. I hate you, Nick. I mean, I can't stand you.
But, Evan, the Mets have been taking all the Yankee cast-offs, so why not?
All right, so let me attack all of these things.
Isn't it fair play?
No,
turn about?
I will address
that
the Yankee.
That one would feel particularly egregious.
Oh, yeah, it would sting.
It would hurt.
Let's address all those things. Number one, was Pete Alonso disrespected? In some ways, yeah, but I don't think those are things that would keep him from wanting to be a New York Met. He was disrespected in his own mind during the offseason, and he still re-signed. Those cheers that some Met fans gave Vladimir Guerrero Jr., they weren't like it was a standing ovation. And he got, and Pete Alonso ended up getting the biggest ovation of anybody, including Juan Soto,
right,
as my dad showed us live on the radio that day. So the disrespect thing, I throw away, that's number one. Number two, did he say there's a better chance I'm going to find a Cam Scataboo signed football in my creek?
I know. I didn't get that one.
Well, here's the reference to that, Teak.
I know what he's talking about, but I didn't get it.
Yeah, he was just saying that it's unlikely to happen.
I got it.
For those that aren't aware, I found, before I started working with Teaky, he was still at the network at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I found a randomly signed football in my creek in my backyard. Actually, I did not find it. My father-in-law did.
Yes.
And he said, can you tell who signed this? And I looked at it, and I'm like, it looks like Tiki Barber. I work in the same building as him. So, yes, that did happen. As far as the Yankees are concerned, before I address if Pete would go there, of course Pete would go there. Pete would go there if they offer him the most money.
Right.
Pete would go there if he felt like, wow, okay, I got a chance to stay in New York. The Mets really don't want me back. And the Yankees are making me this offer. But the Yankees aren't going to offer Pete Alonso that.
No.
Like, does anyone, Sean, you're a Yankee fan. Do you think Pete Alonso is going to be offered a five-year, $200 million deal from the Yankees during the offseason?
I don't, especially because I think the emergence of Ben Rice takes the Yankees out of the first base market next year.
There you go. They love Ben Rice. They don't need Pete Alonso.
Well, I'm serious. Where's he going to play?
Well, that's a good question. Actually, it's a good point.
Thank you.
Touche, sir, because they're not moving Ben Rice anywhere. So I'm not worried about the Yankees. I think it's more, will a team, whether it's the Yankees or somebody else, the Seattle Mariners, doesn't matter, the Cubs, if they lose Kyle Tucker to the Yankees, right? We get all connected. Would there be a team willing to offer Pete more money than the Mets would be willing to offer?
Right.
And while on the surface it sounds like the answer is yes, I think at the end of the day, especially if he has a big year, Steve Cohen and David Stearns are going to feel the pressure to bring him back. That'd be my opinion.
Yes.
Are you ready?
But he should get it done before the season's over.
No, that'd be nice, but it's not going to happen. Are you ready for a brand new edition of Posted and Toasted?
It's time for Posted and Toasted.
You ready for this one?
Yeah, go ahead.
In honor of the NFL Draft, April 29th, 2016. I firmly believe Cook and Hackenberg have a legit chance to be better than both Goff and Wentz. This is a very pivotal moment in Jets history approaching. Cook and Hackenberg better than Goff and Wentz.
Hmm.
Well, you seem very confident about that. Is that person Sean Morash, Evan Roberts, Jerry Recco, or Brandon Tierney?
That's definitely Brandon Tierney.
I was wrong!
And he was wrong.
How did you know that?
Because we talked about it!
He believed in Hackenberg, and who's the cook? Connor Cook?
Connor, yeah.
Is that who it was?
Yeah, I think Connor Cook actually accidentally started a playoff game for the Raiders. After
I think you're right.
I was wrong.
He was Michigan State?
Yes.
I could not stand him in college. I don't know, just as a player. And people would, because his completion percentage was abysmally low. And I was like, how is that possible in college? And everybody said, oh, he's going to be a good pro. Mm.
There were
I was right.
So many quarterbacks taken in that draft.
Yeah.
Are you ready to hear the names?
Go ahead.
There's so many. You've got Carson Wentz, Jared Goff,
yep.
Paxton Lynch, Christian Hackenberg, Jacoby Brissett,
wow,
Cody Kessler, Connor Cook, Dak Prescott, Cardale Jones, Kevin Hogan, Nate Sudfeld, Jake Ruddock, Brandon Allen, Jeff Driscoll, and Brandon Dougherty. It feels like a million quarterbacks were taken in that draft.
That is a lot of quarterbacks.
And how about your boy Dak, one of the best of the group? It's probably
Dak is the only
Goff
one. Dak
definitely
Goff one, but
wow.
Yeah. That's a lot of quarterbacks.
Now here is,
and only two of them hit.
Yeah, Carson Wentz hit for a little bit.
Yeah, true.
And he's still in the NFL bouncing around.
And still hitting.
That's right. How about this tweet from October 20th, 2012? No, I'm not following you girls. You're just walking damn slow and hogging the sidewalk. Is that Tommy Lugauer?
No.
Sean Morash?
Nope.
Evan Roberts?
Nope.
Or Al Dukes?
That's Al Dukes.
You're wrong.
Oh, how is that not Al Dukes?
No, I'm not following you girls. You're just walking damn slow and hogging the sidewalk.
That's You're Sean. Wrong.
It's not Sean.
Down to me and Lugie.
You wouldn't say that. It's got to be Lugie.
You're wrong.
Evan, what the heck is wrong with you?
I'm a loser. I think I remember that night. I think that they thought.
Oh, it was at night?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm a loser.
Mm.
I think they thought me and my friend were following them. And my point was like, can you guys move? You're walking so freaking slow.
Mm.
So, yeah, I kind of remember that.
Why did you tweet it? Yeah, and why didn't you not say me and my friend?
What did I say? I just said, no, I'm not. Like I'm the only person?
Yes.
I don't know. Yeah. Was it important for me to include that I wasn't alone?
It would have been, you know, clarifying.
Can you do me a favor, Sean?
Because then it definitely would have been you. I was like, Evan has friends?
Oh, what day of the week was that? October 20th, 2012.
All right.
Like, that feels like it's got to be a Saturday night. Has to be.
Has to be, you
hashtagged it Saturday night, random.
No, you're right. I'm looking at it. Hashtag random Saturday night tweet. So, yes, it was a Saturday night. Anyhow, here's social media post number three. April 3rd, 2021. When I'm on my deathbed, I will remember the 2 hours of my life I lost watching Deadly Illusions on Netflix. Is that person Sal Licata, Tiki Barber, Sean Morash, or Tommy Lugauer?
Deadly Illusions.
Or Greg Giannotti. There's five choices.
Say them again.
Is it Tiki Barber?
Not me.
Is it Sean Morash?
Not Sean.
Is it Tommy Lugauer or is it Greg Giannotti?
It's going to be Tommy.
You're wrong.
How is it not Tommy?
Tommy's too cool to waste his time watching Deadly Illusions.
It's not me. Sean?
Definitely. You're wrong.
We were looking for Greg Giannotti.
Get me out of here.
What is Deadly Illusions? Did you guys watch that show?
I have no idea.
I don't either, but for those playing at home, Evan did give away when he first gave away four choices and then added Geo.
Tiki didn't pick up on it, though.
Oh, I did. I just thought you were being like.
Here is your.
Obscure on purpose.
I try sometimes. Here is your final tweet here in a wonderful segment called Posted and Toasted. And this is the first time we're doing this. It includes a poll.
Yeah.
So it includes a poll. This is from August 16th, 2024. In general, who do you think urinates more in a day? I mean the number of times someone urinates, not the total volume of urine. What? Men, women, or equal urination?
Who even thinks about that?
Someone with a lot of free time.
It's got to be Al.
Yes!
Would you like to? Okay.
I like to lick my hands.
I mean, if he got it without the guesses, good for you.
That was easy.
Now, here's what I'm curious about.
I have never thought of it. Has that question ever entered your mind?
Who goes to the urinal? Well, who goes to the bathroom more?
Evan, has that ever entered your mind?
Yes.
Like, you're like, man, I'm peeing a lot.
Yeah.
But has it ever entered your mind, like, I wonder if I pee longer than a girl does? Like, seriously.
Yeah, the answer is yes. I have thought about it, but Al's the only one, I guess, aware enough to put it out there so that we can learn. Like, he put a poll up, and I have the results. Like, do you want to guess the results? And again, to clarify, what Al said is, who do you think urinates more in a day? Number of times, not volume of it. So you want to clarify.
Eat me.
It's not the volume of the urine. It's the amount of time, like the amount of time someone goes.
Thank you for clarifying.
So this is a guess of who goes, who the number of times longer, women or men?
Yes. And he's got the poll. This is my favorite part of this. We actually have a result instead of us mindlessly speculating.
I'm going to say people think It's women.
You're going to say women.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sean, you got a guess?
Men. Because we have to stop and go in trees constantly.
Yeah, but sometimes women just go, even though they're not going.
Well, they go to talk about us. Yes. They're powdering their nose.
That's right.
But are they actually going?
Does that count?
How the hell are we knowing what they're doing?
That's a good point.
Well, the final results, I couldn't ask Tommy because he sees the tweet. That's part of the game. I apologize. 50% men, 40% women, 10% equal urination.
Wow.
So there you go. I learn something new every day. Equal urination.
We are a progressive
society.
How many
responses were on that?
Over 1,000.
Of course there were.
Well, I would have guessed women as well, by the way. And I have thought about it because, like, me and my wife, I'll give you an example. We went to a Broadway show a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And when I go to the bathroom, it's so quick and easy. And when she goes to the bathroom, it takes forever. Not her fault, just the way the lines are.
Well, there's extra steps.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think there are also just more women there. It's a Broadway show. Like, if you go to a baseball game.
But Evan, come on.
No, it's just women, men will hold it.
Oh, you think that's what it is?
No, but the line for the women's room is always longer than the line for guys' room, unless it's a sporting event because there's more guys.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. I agree with you. I'm just saying I think at this Broadway show there were more women there.
But I'm just saying,
which probably added to the fact that the line was long.
Yeah. With all due respect, we've all driven down a highway and there's a car pulled over to the shoulder and there's a man relieving himself on a tree.
That's true.
How many times are you driving down a highway and there's a woman squatting with a sock?
you gotta water the trees.
So why? I mean, men must have to go more. They're constantly ready to do it.
I don't think that means they have to go more. I think it just means our circumstances are easier for us to go when we have to go.
Right.
It's one of the advantages of being a guy.
It makes it easier to go whenever.
No doubt.
We also have no shame as men, I think. Like, you ever go golfing? I mean, there's guys on the third hole basically going there, and it's like, dude, can you just like go somewhere private? Where I think women have a little more class than we do.
I did something
related
to this. So, like, pathetic, but I did it. So, on Sunday, I'm watching the Knicks game. I'm watching the Mets game. I got the Yankees game on. I'm in my media room, as they call it.
Yeah.
It's just me and Spence, my little guy. We're hanging out. I don't have a bathroom up there. So I go down, I go to the bathroom. Touching it is kind of fun. I didn't want to. So I just went over, grabbed a cup.
Oh, come on. No. Are you serious? You're in your home, you pig?
What the hell?
Yeah. And Spence was like, what are you doing, Dad? And I was like, I just got to go. I made it like, I don't want to leave you, bro. I don't want to see you.
No, now I'm broing you. What did you do with the cup, Evan?
I know. Porto potty. I poured it in the sink and then cleaned the sink.
There are some things that cannot be cleansed. And I'm not insinuating that is bad for you. Ask Moises Alou. But, Tommy, with all due respect, hold on a second. Is there a sink upstairs?
Yeah, there's a sink.
So you have running water upstairs, no bathroom, and you decide you're going to go in a solo cup and then dump it out in that sink where, you know, people eventually wash their
hands. Why is there no toilet in that bathroom, just a sink?
That was really hard. Like, when we were building the room, because we actually built the room, we decided, you know what? We don't need a bathroom. There's a bathroom right downstairs.
Well,
it's easy.
Well, apparently you do.
Yeah, because you didn't go downstairs, and it was easy.
I didn't want to miss a pitch.
How many more Ricos you need to do to put a bathroom up there so that never happens again?
Was it a... Because now we need to know. Is it a regular cup or is it like one of your water bottles?
No, red solo cup. So it was easy to...
There was a big target. But even with a big target, Evan, I would assume...
Let me say this about these water bottles, because obviously I think we've all kind of had to do this at times if you're on the road.
Yeah.
That is not easy.
No.
That is not ideal. No. Like, that is a real tricky situation.
Right. I'm going to guess some of it got on the carpet.
No. No, it's a big red solo cup. It's easy. No, not at all.
Solo cups are simple.
Yeah.
He's talking about like the bottle. Like a water bottle.
The only time I think any of us have ever done that is, unfortunately, a long drive where there's nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. And that, I admit, that's a horrible situation.
Right.
That's not good. No. At that point, just get out of the car and go wherever.
Right.
But no, in this case, it was nice and easy. It was right into a cup. Anyhow, if you find any old tweets of our fellow FAN coworkers, certainly send it on over to Evan Roberts, WFAN, or DM us, because we all love playing another game of Posted and Toasted. Let's go to Vernon calling from Atlanta, Georgia. How are you, Vernon?
What's up, Vern?
What's going on, Tiggy?
All's good.
Ev?
What's up?
Yo, Ev.
Yeah.
Why all the time is the Knicks, the Rangers, the Giants, or the Yankees have a big game, you always come on and bring somebody on that's a discouraging type person? The guy that came on the first time, right, if he's a true Knicks fan, he wouldn't come on there and say what he said earlier about oh, we was giving the game. You never say that if you're a true fan. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So I'm kind of doubting a lot of New York fans because they come on this radio station and they're crying. And, you know what, man? I'm 64 years old. I've been a fan, what, 57 years or so?
Yep.
Right? And I never get down on this. If they lose the series or something like that, I'm down because we should have did better and our management should have did better to make us win. You know? So I'm like this. The Knicks are going to go all the way and win championship. I'm putting the prediction out there right now. And Tommy, don't let them bully you up there. But that's all they're doing is bullying you, especially Sean. Sean ain't even got a team.
Well, in fairness to Sean, I don't think he's even said a word about the Knicks today. So I can't. We can't blame him. What have you said wrong?
Nothing. Nothing. No, I'm still sopping up after that BS non-call.
BS non-call. See, now he started it. Remember this, Vernon. We don't control who calls the radio station. And that guy who called in earlier on, you could rewind about an hour, a guy by the name of Stan in Westport, he started his phone call by saying he's a lifelong Knicks fan. And he offered an opinion about the missed call, if you will, from game four. That's not my fault. Somehow Vernon wanted to make it my fault. Like, I'm some kind of bad guy. Right. Like, I'm planting callers to attack the Knicks. I'm not. In fact, what I said the other day about that call was, yeah, it was a foul, but I don't think it was egregious that it was a non-call.
Yeah.
And if I'm a Piston fan, and I did listen to Detroit Sports Talk Radio, I listen to Valenti, I listen to Rico, they do a great job in afternoons, and I checked them on in this morning, and I thought they offered, like, really balanced opinions, which is, it was a bad call, but we blew an 11-point lead!
Right.
Was mentioned a lot.
Right.
And they're right, and they're reasonable. And that's a reasonable opinion to have. And that's where I'd be annoyed if I'm a Piston fan. And if I'm a Knicks fan, yeah, you had a call go your way, but you had to do a lot of things to put yourself in that position.
That's interesting. So that means that the national media was more on the missed call than the Detroit Piston fan, or at least Detroit Piston sports talk radio.
Yeah, I don't want it to sound like they weren't pissed about it. They were. But they had the ability to do two things at the same time, which is, yes, it was a bad missed call. Yeah, I don't love it. But, hey, what about Cade missing an open look with 8 seconds to go? What about Cade turning the ball over? What about Tim Hardaway Jr. basically pushing his body into Josh Hart? Like, how about blowing an 11-point lead? How about not taking advantage of Jalen Brunson not being on the floor for a bunch of minutes?
Right.
Like, there are a lot of basketball reasons as a Piston fan, and they expressed it, why they should be agitated. So it works both ways.
Right.
You could do two things at once. Did the Knicks get a break? Yes. We all know they did. But what are you supposed to do? Throw the win back?
No. You take it for what it is, and you go win game five, and you end this thing and put Detroit out of their misery and let them regroup for next year.
You know,
You
know what we could all agree on? All of us. Me, Sean, you, Tiki, Loogie. Everybody could agree on. Bleep the Miami Heat.
Good for them.
Good for them losing by 50 in an elimination game. They could take their culture. They could take their coach. They could take their fraud fans. They could take their suntans. They could take their arena. And they can certainly take their culture. And they could stick it where the sun don't shine. If you smell.
Yeah, sorry. Nothing like being down 50 at halftime and then watching Jimmy Butler save the Warriors later.
Right.
That was a nice night for Heat fans.
Wasn't that perfect?
Nice night for Heat fans.
That was pretty perfect. Let's go to Bob in Congers. How are you, Bob? Hello, Bob.
Bob, what's up, dude?
Bobby going once. Bob, we'll put you on hold. Maybe you'll wake up. Let's go to Mario in Long Beach.
Mario. What's up?
What's going on, guys? Great show, as always.
Thank you, thank you.
Yeah, so just a little thing that I didn't finish off when we were talking about Brunson yesterday. There's one thing that, and I know you were saying, well, let's see in the next 5 years who gets higher on the MVP ballot. I think there's one thing we should look at that's more important.
Yes.
Who has won an award? Like in terms of an NBA award.
Right.
Now the award that's the Clutch Player of the Year, they started it last year.
Right.
Won it this year, Brunson. Do you know what the criteria is, guys?
No.
For that? Okay, the criteria is last 5 minutes of the game, production when neither team is winning by more than 5 points. So that's pretty specified, right?
Right.
So Brunson is shooting 67% from the field. So in that 5 minutes, that's insane.
Right, that is
insane. He just won this award, and he beat out Luka, he beat out Jokic, he beat out Ant-Man, he beat out Steph Curry by a mile.
Yeah.
It wasn't even close.
Well, Mario, I don't think there's any question about the clutchness of Jalen Brunson. I mean, look at his clutchness. Forget about the regular season where he won an award that they created 5 minutes ago, which, no offense, like, I just can't look at that award too seriously until it's been around for a decade. But I don't need to look at the award. Now that it's Tiki, we know Jalen Brunson is clutch.
Right. And we know he's more clutch than, in this case, Cade Cunningham.
Well, right now, he's more clutch than every single person in the sport.
Right, right.
Like, go down the list. He is more clutch.
Mm-hmm.
It is scary what this man has done, not just this season to start the postseason, but throughout his postseason career with the New York Knicks. And that is, without question, one major advantage the Knicks have in this series, and even, dare I say, an advantage they're going to have moving forward. Because as great as Tatum has been, as great as Jaylen Brown has been, Jalen Brunson has put together an artistry of clutchness over the last 3 years, which is why, Tiki Barber, on April 29th, 2025, Jalen Brunson remains the king of New York City.
Well, I don't think he's in danger of losing it anytime soon.
But Tiki, Aaron Judge is hitting 408.
Doesn't matter. Aaron Judge has to win a World Series.
Sorry, Sean.
Aaron Judge has to win a World Series, but Jalen Brunson, with this fraud organization, we excused it out of the second round. I don't know why this king of New York stuff's starting to piss me off.
Why is it pissing you
off? Because the guy gets the World Series, gets the ALCS, Jalen Brunson. Oh, it's okay, the Celtics are better.
Aaron Judge had it for a long time. He was the MVP.
He's won
multiple MVPs. Once you've won multiple MVPs, you got to take the next step. Otherwise, you're just standing still.
Are you getting better?
Because if you're not getting better, you're getting worse, even if you're standing still.
If you're out in the second round in less games than you were versus the Pacers, should you get better? Well, he's the king.
But it's not him.
The king should carry the justice.
What has Judge done in the postseason? Thank you.
Some in the past year.
I
argue Soto and Giancarlo benefited by hitting around Judge.
But Sean, Jalen Brunson, and there are many of these, so I'll just give you one because I can regurgitate about 50 of them, and they're incredible. But I'll give you one that'll really ring into your head. Jalen Brunson is the first player to start the postseason with four consecutive 30-point games since. Is it since LeBron? No. Is it since Luka? No. Is it since Kobe? No. Is it since Tim Duncan? No. Is it since Shaq? No. Jalen Brunson is the first player to start the playoffs with four consecutive 30-point games since Michael Jordan! Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Great. So then all those other guys proved they didn't need 30-point games to have more successful postseason careers than Jalen Brunson. I also saw a clean Aaron Judge hit 62 homers for the first time in Major League Baseball history.
I get it, but the point is Jalen Brunson, and we'll see where this goes, because you may be right. It may just end in the second round. In fact, it likely does. Most people think that. Even Tommy thinks that. He predicted it 2 weeks ago.
Well, enough. I did not predict that.
You did. I have tape of it.
What do you mean you have tape of it? You just point it to your iPad over there, sport.
Well, I can cut the audio, but I write down when people say things. Yeah. And you said Celtics in six, right?
Yeah, you kind of did.
But Tiki, remember that
I said the same thing, though.
No, but that was 3:30 Tommy, and then 3:35 Tommy, or PM, said that the Knicks were going to the Eastern Conference Finals, which is what October Tommy said as well.
So
summer
you,
Tommy had him winning the championship.
You are falling in, not to a trap, because there's nothing wrong with this. You're falling into something I suggested back in February when Knicks fans were all depressed because they lost a meaningless regular season game to the Celtics. I said, Teak, once they win the first round, especially if they do it in convincing fashion, there will be plenty of Knicks fans, not all, who will get back on board to saying, we can beat the Celtics. And that's why these regular season games don't mean a damn thing. Tommy, Exhibit A.
Yes.
Exhibit A.
Yeah, I mean, it's called being a fan, number one. And number two, I keep hearing from you that the Celtics are banged up. They're this, they're that. So perhaps they're a little bit more vulnerable than they were last year 100%. Or earlier this year. So it gives me reason for hope and optimism.
You're welcome.
That's why 3:35 p.m. Tommy had them beating them.
Was it 3:35 p.m.?
I don't write things down. It's a guesstimate.
I have it all written down. But the reality is, Jalen Brunson getting knocked out in the second round may happen. It's the likeliest outcome. But those clutch figures that he's put together, not just in this postseason, but in his Knicks postseason career, is pretty incredible. And you need to acknowledge it. We'll get back to your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. That's the toll-free telephone number.